Hello, and welcome to our program, Gardening in San Antonio, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Joanna Skogman, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the San Antonio Express News here on OWL Radio. These columns are written by Dr. Calvin Finch. Here's what to know about hosting purple martin birds in your landscape. Let's start with a revelation that may deflate your justification for providing purple martins with housing support. It turns out the forever belief that purple martins are among the most important mosquito predator is not true. Recent research has revealed that purple martins rely on larger insects for their food, including dragonflies. And dragonflies eat many more mosquitoes than martins do. Last year was a tough year for purple martin families in our area because of the difficult weather conditions. This year seems to be proceeding with the same start. The arrival and nest selection last year was disrupted by the weather. Purple martins eat flying insects, and if the weather is too cold or wet in the spring, it disrupts the normal pattern of feeding and nesting. What we would like to see is to have the unattached and adult purple martin families from the Amazon wintering grounds making exploratory visits to the available purple martin housing right now in our neighborhoods prior to making their decisions about suitable nesting sites. Purple martins usually make those exploratory visits in February and early March. They will often select to claim the same house they used in the last year, especially if it has desirable characteristics, including 40 feet between a birdhouse that reaches at least 12 feet into the air, and the nearest tree of the same height. It is also most successful if the area at the base of the pole holding up the house is placed in soil with the brush removed and mowed level and low with the ground. Another interesting purple martin preference is that they prefer that their homes be within 100 feet of a human dwelling. In my experience and other gardeners' experience, resident purple martins are most likely to favor birdhouses close to the human residences over those farther away. The house construction is dominated by aluminum, wooden, and gourd materials with dimensions of 6 inches wide, 6 inches high, and 9 inches deep for each nesting box. The entrance hole should be 1 inch from the floor and 2 inches in diameter. I have found aluminum structures that include a mounting pole purchased on the internet or from a local shop as easy to obtain and construct. Right now, your purple martin house should be in the air and ready for the exploratory visits. A key factor is to have the nest entry holes blocked by the caps that are provided with the martin house kits or can be purchased to be used in your constructed house. Leave the caps blocking the entrance to the individual nests until the exploring martins show up for the first time this spring. The competition for the nests is strong between martins and English sparrows. So any advantage you can give the martins helps them successfully take possession of a nest and raise a family of young martins. Purple martins are tolerant of lowering and manipulating the entrance hole caps, but unfortunately, so are English sparrows. Quite often, I end up with the two species sharing the larger house. Move fast and join me in preparing housing for purple martins in your landscape. Next, time to plant tomatoes in San Antonio Gardens by Calvin Finch. Did you pot up the new rodeo tomato Thunderbird when you obtained them in February or early March? We know at least 80 gardeners who attended the potting up events at Millburgers and the Dream Hill Estates Education Center did. Well, it's time to start planting them in the garden, or the large containers, 10 gallons or larger. They are a determinant selection, so they concentrate on growing to a full-size plant and then concentrate on producing fruit so they can beat the hot weather. Thunderbirds are large, bright red fruit with a slightly flattened shape that have been described as being exceptionally tasty. I have not tasted Thunderbird, but two of my favorite tasting tomatoes are on the market and ready to be planted. BHN 968 is a round cherry tomato that has been my favorite for several years. It has a firm interior and delicious tart taste. If your favorite nursery offers them for sale, invest in one or more transplants. BHN 968 is semi-determinant variety that is a fast and long season producer. My second favorite tasting tomato is a pear-shaped selection called Ruby Crush. Ruby Crush is another determinant variety that reaches fruit production very quickly, and it is delicious. It appears that Ruby Crush is going to receive some special recognition for its fruit production and growth capabilities. David Rodriguez, our extension agent for horticulture in Bexar County, expects the Ruby Crush to be recognized for its status as an easy-to-grow, productive tomato plant that produces tasty fruit statewide. Ruby Crush produces high-quality fruit in both the garden and containers. Make sure you try it out. It is not entirely clear which tomato varieties will eventually be available on the retail nursery market, but watch for selections Celebrity, BHN 968, Tycoon, and Valley Cat if you have nematodes in your soil. Other tomato varieties that have reached status as a rodeo tomato include Red Snapper, Red Deuce, HM 8849, Phoenix, and HM 1823. Plant tomatoes in full sun after fertilizing the soil in the bed with 10 cups of 19509 slow release lawn fertilizer for every 100 square feet of bed. Tomato gardening is the big topic now, but it won't be long before the topic of monarch butterflies move into the forefront. If you want to learn more about monarchs, join me for two upcoming events. On April 22nd, from 9:30 to 11 a.m., I will present Attracting Butterflies, Including Monarchs in the Garden at the Dream Hill Estate Education Resource Center, 3802 Dorothy Louise Drive in the San Antonio Medical Center area. For more information, call 210-382-4455. On April 29th, I will cover the same topic from 10 to 11:15 a.m. during the big open house at the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Open House, 325 Resource Drive in New Braunfels. Visit https://comal.agrilife.org/ or call 830-620-3440 for more information. Next up, which roses are best for your San Antonio garden? Have you noticed the mutabilis roses in bloom this spring? Also called butterfly, mutabilis is just one of the tough, modern, and old-fashioned roses, along with Belinda's Dream, Carefree Beauty Pink, Martha Gonzalez, Mrs. Dudley Cross, Grandma's Yellow, and Lady Banks Rose. These roses produce beautiful flowers with minimal care and water, usually over a long bloom season, making them good fits for San Antonio landscapes. Mutabilis Butterfly. These roses grow in a clump about 12 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 8 feet tall. The flowers are 3 inches in diameter, and every plant will have 3 colors of thin-petaled blossoms of peach, pink, and red. The plants make quite a show when they are grown as a specimen in full sun on the lawn of a landscape. They also serve well as a hedge planted along a fence or on the landscape border. In addition to being decorative, the plants are dense enough to meet the needs of birds and other wildlife for cover. Belinda's Dream. These roses grow to about 6 feet tall and 6 feet in diameter. Its main claim to fame are the very light pink flowers that resemble what you would expect from a classic florist rosebud and bloom. These showy flowers often bloom over an 8-month period without a demanding pruning agenda or spray program through a San Antonio summer. Carefree Beauty. This rose produces a darker pink bloom about twice as large as the Belinda's Dream, but it isn't a flower that we would expect to find in a flower shop. It is formed by a layer of petals that, after their bloom period, form a rose-large hip, which works equally well for a gardener's tea or a red bird cardinal's supper. Martha Gonzalez. This rose also has a flat flower, but it is bright red and about a third of the size of the Carefree Beauty Pink. The foliage of the plant has a red tint, and the plant only grows to about 4 feet tall and equally as wide. As a landscape feature, I like Martha Gonzalez best as a traffic director in plantings in between sidewalk lanes. Like most of the other roses in this group, they are drought tolerant and don't need excessive grooming. Martha Gonzalez has enough thorns to direct traffic, but does not injure the folks using the sidewalk they are directing. Mrs. Dudley Cross. This is one rose in the group that does not have thorns. It is an old-fashioned rose that grows a little taller than Belinda's Dream and Carefree Beauty Pink, but is often planted with them. The peach-colored blooms make good cut flowers, and the plant blooms over a long season of at least 6 months, like the two pink roses. Grandma's Yellow. This rose is popular because of its well-shaped yellow blooms that are produced over a long season. Similar to the Belinda's Dream, Grandma's Rose, Yellow Rose, works very well in an easy-to-care-for plant when used in a drift along the landscape edge. The Lady Banks Rose. This rose is blooming right now with yellow or white multi-petaled blooms that are half dollar size. It is the one tough rose in the discussion that does not have a 6 month or more blooming season. Most of the specimens are thornless and are inclined to grow in a mound shape in full sun. Again, it makes a good cover for wildlife feeding and nesting as a wildlife cover plant. Lady Banks is generally smaller and better shaped than a mutabilis, except where it decides to grow up through a live oak or mesquite seeking the sun. Unlike the other modern and tough old-fashioned roses in this discussion, it only blooms for 3 weeks every spring. And now, monarch butterflies head to San Antonio. Again, a column by Calvin Finch. Have you seen the first monarch butterfly in your landscape this year yet? We did at the Gardening South Texas radio studio at Milberger's Nursery and are excited about the opportunity to have to encourage our listeners to contribute to the initiative to try and restore some of the monarch population that has been declining. Monarch butterflies are among the most interesting and popular butterflies in North America. Most winter in Mexico, near Mexico City, after laying their eggs on milkweed plants growing all over the range, all over the continent, from Mexico City to Canada. Now in April, they are going to be heading north and laying their eggs on the northern trek. In the fall, they will pass through, going the other direction, and lay their eggs on the southern trek. Does it sound simple? Well, it isn't. Each adult that lays its eggs on the migration in either direction dies after the egg laying, even if it is not successful. You have a long migration with weather challenges, seeking milkweed egg-laying sites exclusively, trying to avoid human pesticide applications. Another complication is growing milkweed. Milkweed is very difficult to kill once it's established. Just ask the farmers all over North America. But it is also difficult to germinate and grow. The adult butterflies need the blooms to collect its nectar, and the caterpillars need its foliage to eat so it can survive and intake the chemicals that give it its protection against predators. Take advantage of the programs we are offering at Millburgers, Dream Hill Estates Education Resource Center, and the New Braunfels Ag Fest, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, in April. In addition to more details about the life cycle of monarchs and a few other of our resident butterflies, we will discuss growing native milkweed plants, such as green milkweed, antelope milkweed, and butterfly weed. We will also join program attendees in planting some of the species with seed and supplies provided by one of the program's co-sponsors, Douglas King Seed Company. One of the monarch's favorite milkweeds, tropical milkweed, makes an attractive addition to the landscape and is already blooming in the area. It is a controversial factor in the monarch butterfly discussion because it is exotic and there are unanswered questions about its desirability as a local landscape addition. A large number are on display at Millburgers, and we will discuss the issues that make it controversial if you attend one of the classes in April. The classes are scheduled for April 15th at Millburgers. Phone 210-497-3760. April 22nd at the Education Resource Center at 6802 Dorothy Louise at Dream Hill Estates. 210-382-4455. And April 29th at New Braunfels Ag Fest at 325 Resource Drive. 210-382-4455. They all run 9:30 to 11 o'clock a.m. 40 attendees at each site will plant and receive native milkweed after the lecture. Call the site where you wish to attend to reserve one of the 40 spots available at each location. There is no fee to attend. This week in the garden. Consider use of small and medium-sized trees to bring needed connection between landscape shrubs and shade trees. Texas mountain laurel, Mexican plum, Texas persimmon, pomegranate, redbud, and Texas lilac all work well. Use leaves as raw material for the compost pile or to provide organic material for the lawn. Mowing the leaves speeds up the decomposition process. Insect-eating birds are attracted to landscape feeders if the suet is pepper-flavored to discourage squirrels to the suet. Water is also important. Fertilize the lawn when real grass has been mowed at least twice. The ideal time usually occurs on or about May 1st. This is also a good time to aerate the lawn and top dress with compost. The process allows oxygen to enter the soil and waste gases to leave the root area, so water and nutrients can penetrate the root area. It is an easy task for gardeners to do themselves, or a contractor can be used. Address the problem of our lack of rain and dry soil by targeting watering forays to wet the root balls of trees and shrubs that have been planted for 2 years or less. Soaker mechanisms and or soaker hoses will help with the process. After the latest spell of 40 degree temperatures in the morning, it would be a reasonable plan to plant most of your tomato transplants. Keep a few in reserve for a post-April 1st planting in case we are subjected to more cold weather. Blue curl, zinnias, larkspur, and dianthus are top-notch nectar producers that are in bloom for monarchs, bees, hummingbirds, and other pollinators. Porter weed and mistflower will begin their bloom period shortly. Keep your winter weeds as the sustainable winter landscape by continuing to mow the weeds, especially the rescue grass and annual bluegrass, every 2 weeks through May. Calvin Finch is a retired Texas A&M horticulturist. He can be reached at calvinrfinch@gmail.com. You have been listening to Gardening in San Antonio on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This has been Joanna Skogman saying goodbye from Owl Radio. I hope you have enjoyed the program.